St. Lucie Boulevard and Parr Drive, Highway 55, Burger Shakes and Fries.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
God gave man one of his attributes, the ability to create, creativity. And it will always flow. Sometimes, and what the enemy does not like is you being creative. And that's where he tries to slip religious thinking into your life. Just one way. We've done it this way all the time, and we'll always do it this way. I was born this, I'll die this. You know, traditions. There are traditions, of course, that are good traditions, but there are traditions that are very limiting and that stop or impede creativity. Now, I don't mean that we just, you know, get off the chain and forget about God and just go berserk. But even in serving God and honoring God, I know God would like to use or like for you to use creativity from time to time. Be creative. But religious spirits and, you know, living a routine kind of enclosed, limited life, one may feel like, you know, God's not in any of that. But God gave you that creativity. Amen. He gave you that talent that you have, but he wants you to use it for the advancement of his kingdom and not just for something, you know, that is worldly or ungodly. Okay? So kings think differently. Kings hold the keys to authority, and we must establish the fact that as a king, Jesus has given you the keys to the kingdom. Remember, Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, they sit in Moses' seat, but they stand in the way, and I'm paraphrasing it, they stand in the way of others entering the kingdom. See, they had the keys, so to speak. They had the scriptures, but they were blocking others from entering in. If we have keys, we're to be opening doors for others to enter in and not standing in the way. But religion and traditions and sometimes even self, when we're not representing God fully, can stand in the way of someone entering into the kingdom. Amen? So we want to represent him well because the keys are given to us, and the keys represent our kingdom authority. Tell someone right now, you have the keys to the kingdom. It's a terrible thing when you lose your keys. Don't you hate losing keys? I want to talk about a few things here. We've covered a number of things. First of all, we covered the fact that kings overcome the kingdoms of this world. That was number one. Kings will overcome the kingdoms of this world. We described to a certain degree what the kingdoms of this world were. There are domains. And there's a domain called poverty. In other words, there's a spirit that rules in that domain. He has dominion in that domain, and he keeps individuals, cities, even nations in poverty because that's the ruling spirit. But kings have authority to overcome the kingdoms of this world. Amen. The greater one is on the inside. Amen. Say that to someone. The greater one is on the inside of you. Now let him out of the box. Don't confine him. Don't keep him caged up. Let him out. Bust a move. Amen. So kings overcome the kingdoms of this world. Another kingdom is false religion. Secular humanism, the antichrist spirits, corruption in the minds of evil men, unrighteous economic systems. God has given us the keys to overcome these kingdoms. Now, the responsibility at the end of the day is going to be our own. Amen, somebody. Amen. At the end of the day, God's given us the keys. He's given us everything we need, but it's going to be contingent upon choices that we make. How many know you can work at getting out of debt? How many know you can work at getting out of debt? Versus continuing to work yourself into more and more debt. But it's a choice. It may take a while, but it's a choice. And I declare, if we start working towards fulfilling the things where God says ultimately we are to owe no man anything. Is that right? Amen. But love. Amen? It may be hard and far-fetched to even think that. But if you start making choices towards that, and a little here, a little there, eating the elephant one bite at a time rather than allowing yourself to be excessive. Say amen again. Then ultimately, you can start seeing, let me say, the light at the end of the tunnel. You can start working towards these goals. And even if not to be debt-free, to get rid of some debt, to free yourself up, to be able to sow more into God's kingdom, to do more, to free up your time, to be able to do things for the kingdom. Amen? But see, that's a system that has sought to swallow us up. It's a kingdom of the world. And you know, like I know, it comes at you from all directions until it tries to just strap you. And many with good hearts toward God are unable. Versus, just imagine if everyone in here right now, just this many that are in the church, everyone here right now was debt-free with an income and could sow everything toward the kingdom. Amen? It's a reality. Why? Because the Lord has given us the keys. Number one, to overcome the kingdoms of this world, to get free from those chains and those bondages. I tell my sons all the time, you know, back in the early, I forget when it was, but when credit cards first started coming and, you know, they give you one for a small amount, you think, wow, you know, you can just swipe the card and, you know, you pay it out every month. But then they, after a little while, they want to bump it up another couple thousand. You say, whoa, now I can, and you know, now I can spend $2,000. And all I want is $10 a month. There is a God. Right? I mean, that was a secret trap. That was a system. I remember when it first came out. I remember. And I remember how we were just bombarded with credit cards. Trap. Now, with recent, I guess not too recent laws that have passed, they have to tell you if you pay the minimum amount, you'll be 20 years paying this off. They didn't tell you that when they told you $10 a month. That's all the minimum. They didn't tell you back then, but now it's a law because it's corrupt. Amen. It's corrupt. Just because it's a big industry doesn't mean that it's not corrupt. It's corrupt. There's a lot of corruption. And so God says, I've given you keys to overcome, to subdue, to break free from the kingdoms of this world. I mean, it starts with a mindset. See, you have to change the way you think. Because somebody right now, I can see you right now going down for the last time. It's like you're drowning. You can't see yourself coming up and getting no air. But we have to change the way we think. That's where it starts. And who's to say that God hadn't earmarked you for a miracle? I said, who's to say that you're not the one that suddenly will be testifying? I know what God can do. I know what God will do when you make up your mind. Hello? He may not do the same thing for everyone, but how do you know it's not you? That elder in the church in Detroit, I'm sure he didn't think along the lines of receiving $250 million, but he did. All right? So it's very important that we can overcome. Tell somebody, I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. Kings overcome the kingdoms of the world. Number two, kings have a domain. There's a domain. There's a place of authority that God has given to you. We mess up. We get in trouble when we outstep our boundaries and we stay out there. That's where the serpent bites without enchantment. And we get tangled up. We get our feelings hurt. We get into battles and struggles that are not ours. But each of us has a domain, and it's important that we can define it. And once we define it, then within that domain, we refine our giftings. Amen. Your blessing is in your domain. Number three, kings have influence. Influence is simply the ability to shape, give direction, and I like this, evoke change. There's a popular former NBA player that during the time he was playing in the NBA, he said, I am not a role model. He made a commercial, I am not a role model. He was lying. He didn't know he was a role model, whether the role was good or bad. And it happened to be bad, but he was a role model because people, you know, they looked up to him and they were going to follow his example one way or the other. Every one of us, especially in your domain, and don't let the devil trick you and make you think that you don't have influence. You do. Even when people don't respect you properly, when they don't treat you right, or when they talk against you, don't let that mar your visage or your image of who you are. You are a king. Sometimes people respond negatively because they're threatened by you or they're threatened by what you carry. And so we can't be moved from things because somebody didn't agree or somebody mistreated or somebody, you know, cut you off or you've been ostracized. That does not change your image of who you are. You're still a king. And if you stand there long enough, God will show you he's for you and he's more than the world against you. That they cannot stop you in what God has commissioned and ordained and mandated for you to do. Tell somebody right now, I'm a king. You know, I was able to talk to some leaders about, because there's so much anger. You know, I actually caught our broadcast this morning, part of it, and I was given the same definition. I don't even know when it was that we recorded it, but the Lord brought it to my mind again, and I just kind of tuned in as I was dropping my son off this morning, and I was given the definition of what it meant to fight. I said, most people fight once they've gotten angry. You know, don't mess with me. Don't make me mad. Just don't make me mad. Don't go there. You know what I mean? You done press the button. They get angry. Now they're ready to fight. But fighting scripturally has nothing really to do with anger. Anger is an emotion that, unless you just got issues, it's hard to sustain it. And so when people do things out of emotion, out of anger and that, and they say they're going to do this, it's hard to sustain it. It's hard to be consistent with it because that anger wears off and now you don't have that emotion driving you. But to fight does not mean that you have to get angry in that carnal, natural sense. Fighting means to take on, and I'm just paraphrasing, take on or sustain your course even in the face of opposition. When you're being opposed, in other words, I'm fighting the good fight of faith. I'm not gonna hate on you because you're hating on me. I'm not gonna get into a fight with you and you trying to fight me. No, I'm gonna keep my eye on my course and I'm gonna sustain my course even in the face of your opposition. See, because as saints, as kings, we have to treat people right even when we are not treated right. How many kings out here tonight? Come on, see, that's the mind of a king. We can do that. See, if I'm ghetto, I don't mean nothing by that. You know, if I'm just, you know what I'm talking about. If I got a hood mentality, I'm going to fight you no matter what. I don't care. But a king, a royal priesthood, you know, we, for no better terminology, we take the high road. It doesn't mean that we are perfect, but we take the high road. We sustain a course in the face of opposition. That's me fighting. You know, I might get hit, knocked this way, but I'm getting back on course here. I'm staying my course. Because, see, God is going to fight my battle. Now, when it comes to spirit phenomena, when I know there's a spirit present, I have keys. I have authority there to bind, to loose, to get them out of my way. They can't resist me. They can't stand in front of me. But when it comes to man, you know, you can only go so far. Hello? And so to try to sustain anger, calling yourself fighting, that's why movements start and then they fizzle out.
We invite you to worship with us. Please join us in our newly added 8:30 a.m. service on Sundays. See you there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.